Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good afternoon. This is Sam Rohr, and today I will be joined by David Kistler here on Stand in the Gap Today. We are so thrilled that those of you who are listening right now are doing so, be it by internet or by live radio or any other way that you are accessing this program. And I do want to say we do thank all of you for taking time out of your schedule. There are a lot of places that you could go to listen to the news, of which there is an overabundance, but there are not too many places that you can go where you can hear the same, I think, predictable interpretation of the news from a biblical and constitutional perspective. So that's what we're going to do today, and we have a great day planned for us. I'll say right up front that we have a special guest with us, a returning guest. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung will join us in the after the first break, and we're going to be talking about some major significant issues from a lens, a biblical lens, which we believe is critical in understanding what's going on in this world today. So in any regard, I'll just set that up right now. Anticipate if you're on and you can call your friends, call them, have them join us in this program today because it'll be something that they won't want to miss. Now, we're without Gary Dahl today because he was called away, as sometimes pastors are, with an emergency circumstance with some folks in his church, some marital circumstances that he's having to be involved with. And so we pray for him during this time as well. But Dave Kistler, you and I are here, and I understand that you are not in North Carolina, but you are somewhere else in the nation. Tell us where you are and a little bit about what you're up to, and then we'll move into this program.
Well, Sam, thank you so much. Yes, I had to miss yesterday, but this week, since Sunday, I've been in Covington, Virginia, ministering at a church there. And yesterday, I drove from Covington after the Monday night service about 3.5 hours over to Fredericksburg, Virginia, where I was privileged yesterday to preach to about 120 pastors that are part of a large Atlantic Baptist Pastors Fellowship in the Fredericksburg, Virginia, and surrounding area. And I'll tell you this, Sam, it was a wonderful day yesterday to sense the burden and the understanding on the part of those pastors of the critical times that we're living in light of the Supreme Court decision. And that was a large topic of conversation among the men as I listened to them converse with each other. And then to see the commitment on the part of these pastors to stand in their pulpits and unequivocally declare God's truth was a great encouragement. So that's where I've been, Covington at night preaching, and tonight will be my last evening in the church here. And then following the service, I have about a 4-hour drive back to North Carolina. So that's where I've been, what I've been doing. It's been an exciting week, to say the least. We've had folks come to know Christ as Savior in the meetings. We've seen the Lord do other wonderful things, for which I praise the Lord's name, and I'm very, very grateful.
Well, Dave, you are traveling across the country, and we as the American Pastors Network are trying to inspire, encourage, and challenge pastors to step up and actually begin boldly preaching from the pulpit. Many are not. Some are. When you are out right now, have you seen a specific change as a result of, for instance, the Supreme Court ruling? Is there something different that has happened as a result of that? And specifically, what is it motivating the pastors you're dealing with to do?
Well, Sam, the answer to your question is yes. In fact, let me give you one example. Not only the churches that I am preaching in and the pastors with whom I rub elbows on a daily basis, not only are they now more aware and engaged as a result of the Supreme Court decision, if you just surf through the religious channels on cable television, and I was doing that again today, just surfing through the religious channels, Sam, without exception, every single channel was addressing the issues of what's happening in America, what's happening as a result of the gay marriage decision that came out of the high court, as well as what happened yesterday with the announcement of this quote-unquote agreement on nuclear arms with Iran. There seems to be an understanding, and Sam, I pray it's a deep-rooted understanding of where we are and how critically important it is that pastors fulfill a prophet's role and stand in their pulpit, educate their people on what the Scripture has to say relative to these issues, and declare, thus saith the Lord. So what I'm seeing is a resurgence of what pastors really should have been doing all along, but now I think like never before. And as my brother says, Dave, I hope it's not a day late and a dollar short, and I don't think it is. It is maybe an 11th hour awareness that these pastors are coming to when they should have been aware a long time ago. But at least there is an understanding now of where we are, and I do believe, Sam, I really do believe a willingness to stand up and proclaim God's truth. Perhaps, and this is something I've prayed about for a long time, perhaps this will be the stimulus for another awakening in our country. I certainly pray it will be.
Well, I hope so as well, Dave. And that sets us up for moving into actually where we're going here right now. We've been talking about big issues. You mentioned about the fact that pastors need to take the issues of the day. There's no question. Those who are in the congregation, when they go into church on Sunday morning, they are taking with them all of the things that they're hearing during the week, all of the things that we talk about, all the things they hear on all the other news networks and so forth, and they take it into that church, and they want the pastors in the pulpit to take the biblical principles and apply it to the issues of the day. I know that on our program yesterday, we spent the entire hour talking about what was involved in this Iranian agreement. And I'll just summarize this basically where we were on that. We said, in essence, for most people, it was their view is that it was a bad agreement for the United States, for Israel, and for Europe. There's a very clear agreement that it was a very big victory for Iran. If it appears that this agreement doesn't really have a whole lot of teeth, is not verifiable, and it really provides for ongoing negotiation, which at the end of the day, Iran holds the cards. So it's not in the interest of us or anyone there, like Israel in the Middle East. It also appears that the Barack Obama claims that this was necessary to stop the proliferation of nuclear weapons, and that he says this is it. This is a move towards peace. But yet those in the Middle East, including many of the Arab countries, say just the opposite, that it's going to be an absolute assurance for a race towards proliferation of nuclear weapons. And by the fact that this thing is, as the president is pursuing it, Dave, not as a treaty, but as an executive agreement, it means it does not go through the normal process of Senate approval. And Congress is trying to get themselves in position with how they can oppose this. But I'm saying that at the end of the day, I don't know what much they can do, because it's very much like an executive order. It's like executive agreement. He purposely went around them, and really, I think, in a lot of aspects, has kind of set up his own position. Is not speaking for the American people, and certainly not speaking for Congress. So all of this, and at the same time, Dave, Greece is continuing. Greece Parliament has not yet voted. That whole circumstance with Europe and the potential involvement of Russia and China, all these things, this all swirls around. It's kind of like, what in the world do you focus on from day to day? It's a big issue. But within that context, Dave, this is why we're going to want to have Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us in this next break, the next hour here, to talk to us about the biblical and prophetical impacts of what we're seeing here with Iran and this negotiation and this agreement, and as we move into Europe. So folks, stay with us. You're going to hear a perspective here. It's going to put a lot of these pieces together in a way I think you can actually very effectively use. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler on Stand in the Gap today. We are thrilled that you are with us. Invite your friends to get on and call in and be listening as a part of this next program. Stay with us. We will be right back after this very, very important break. This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner, as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Robert Aitken, the publisher of the Pennsylvania Magazine, died this day, July 15, 1802. During the colonial era, the Bible most used in America was the King's Authorized Version, printed on the King's official presses in England. But as the Revolutionary War interrupted trade with England, and since the Bible was used commonly in education, the Continental Congress in 1782 responded to the shortage by approving and recommending that Robert Aitken of Philadelphia print the first Bibles in America. They were to be a, quote, neat edition of the Holy Scriptures for the use of schools.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. There's no easier way to share your faith than by giving someone a free gift, the Word of God in a compact, pocket-sized gospel.
I'm going back to nursing school in the fall, and I'm almost out of gospels. I've gotten out of the habit of giving them out. Time to get back to sowing God's seed. Thanks so much for what you do.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I'll be giving the gospels to dock workers who load and unload my truck, as well as to other drivers and truck stop employees, too.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
All right, well, welcome back. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler today on Stand in the Gap Today. And we're going to move right in with our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. He's the host of Prophecy Today. He's been with us a number of times on this program, a Middle East expert, particularly when it comes to Israel and its role, and probably one of the lead individuals in the country who is able to take the issues and the circumstances of the day and put it through a biblical filter. Dr. DeYoung, thank you for being with us today. We sure do appreciate it.
Sam, I appreciate what you guys are doing. Thank the Lord for an opportunity to broadcast across not only your location there in the section of the world where you are, but in the entire world on the internet. We appreciate all the issues that you bring to the discussion.
Well, Jimmy, we appreciate you as well, and we could spend the whole hour expressing our appreciation for each other, but I'm going to move on to your area of expertise. We've been talking about these issues, again, that the whole world is looking at, and everybody seems to have their own opinion, but there's a clear biblical perspective on all of these, and that's what we want to share here and talk about this morning. I have two questions first, and then we're going to go to Dave, and we're going to go back and forth and try to rapid-fire some questions before you, because I know that's how you work best, and we'll try to get as much information in this program as we can. Let me ask you a very fundamental question here to begin with, Dr. DeYoung, and that is this. All of us who are biblicists and Christians look at the events, and there's a lot of discussion about end times. There's a lot of discussion about what is going to happen. The whole world seems to know this, and so forth and so on. But as Christians, when we look at what was revealed in the various books of Daniel and Revelation, and we know that a rapture of the church of the believers is going to be happening, and perhaps happening soon. The question here is, why should we be that concerned about these end time events when Christians likely will be raptured out? What do you say? Why should we be concerned about the events of the day and be concerned from a prophetical perspective?
A couple of reasons, Sam. First of all, we need to understand God's prophetic word. He lays out in all 66 books of the Bible a plan for the future. That's the prophetic passages of his word. And we can study these passages, come to the realization where we are in God's time. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, was having his quiet time reading Jeremiah 25 and 29. He understood that the 70-year period of time for the Jews to be in the Babylonian captivity had come to a close. That was the 70th year. So he knew by studying God's word where he was in God's time, and then could make decisions how he was going to live his life. Same principle for us. We can understand by studying God's prophetic word where we are as these events worldwide are unfolding. They have a connection to Bible prophecy. Once we recognize where we are, then we can understand how close, as you said, the rapture could be. And the fact it could happen at any moment, especially in light of this Iranian deal. But we're looking at the scriptures to determine where we are so we can conform to the image of Christ, be ready for the rapture. Secondly, we have many friends and loved ones who are lost. We need to understand what's going to happen after the rapture, what these people will go into if they're not saved and they are missed in the rapture. They go into the tribulation period, and what we'll be talking about, all will be fulfilled in the tribulation period. We must warn them. Those two reasons are why we should study current events in light of biblical prophecy.
Okay, I hear very clearly the fact that we need to know from the standpoint of urgency, awareness, and all of that that leads towards ultimately God's fulfilling plan of redemption. For those who are believers, it's one, and for those who don't know the Lord, they need to know because of these events. I'm just going to summarize it that. Let me go into my first question here. We're going to talk about the Iranian agreement and the impact. My first is a very simple question. Before getting into the prophetical impacts on this, Jimmy, if we could, from your perspective, if you observe what's taking place, what is the most disturbing element or elements of this agreement as you know it to be at this point?
Well, let me quote the president of Iran, Rouhani. He has been gloating. There's been celebration in Iran because in these negotiations, they achieved all of their goals. Number one, they remove all the sanctions for the Iranian people, which is going to put billions of dollars into their coffers for the purpose of not only developing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, but in addition to that, to continue to support terrorism across the world. Number two, it keeps their nuclear program going. They continue to enrich uranium. There's no restriction on that. They're not going to have to move that enrichment to another country. It's going to be on Iranian soil. So the answer from me has to be what Rouhani said. They remove the sanctions. Money's going to flow like gushing water into Iran, and it's going to keep the nuclear program in place. And should they break the deal, within 2 weeks, they can have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction.
All right, I think that's a great summary right there. And actually, the money we're talking about, folks, is over $100 billion that Barack Obama wants to free up. That's a lot of money, and it's going to make a big difference in the Middle East. Dave Kistler, I know you've got a question. Put it before Jimmy, please.
Yeah, I'd be glad to, Brother Sam. And Brother DeYoung, thank you so much for being on with us. We appreciate your emphasis and your knowledge of this topic greatly. Let me just make a statement, Sam. I have tried to explain what I believe happened with this nuclear deal like this. It's like going into a car dealership, having a car that you own and hold the title to, negotiating a deal where there is a promised new car for you at the end of the deal. The car is not sitting on the lot. You have seen a picture of it. You have not actually seen the car. You trade your car in. You give them the title to your car, and they promise you we're going to have your car here at some point. But that car never emerges, you never see it, and then you've surrendered your property to the car dealership and you never get anything in return. That's exactly what this president has done with this deal. It's a travesty. As tragic as it is for us, it's even more tragic for the nation of Israel. Dr. DeYoung, one of the Bible prophecy sections that deals with end time events that is very, very interesting to people is Ezekiel 38, because in that chapter there's a mention of the regathering of Israel back to the land in Ezekiel 38. Verse number 8, and of course we know that took place in May of 1948, so Israel is now a nation. There is a confederacy of nations that come down against Israel in the end time, of which Iran is one of those nations. Would you speak to this issue? Do you believe this Iranian nuclear deal negotiated by our president is a component of lifting Iran from the ashes and placing them in a prominent place and strengthening them in their ability to be confederate with other nations and fulfill a biblical prophecy and come down against Israel in the end times?
Dave, you're right on target, because the fact is they have made now Iran mainstream in the world. The world leaders recognizing British Empire today announced they're going to put up their embassy in Tehran, Iran. That is recognizing that this terroristic sponsoring state, this nation that has from the very outset said that they're going to destroy Israel, that their name be forgotten forever. That's the book of Psalms, chapter 83 and verse 4. The fact is that on last Friday, they had Al-Quds Day in Tehran, where exactly that purpose was demonstrated. Al-Quds means Jerusalem Day. And they said that they were going to take Jerusalem down. They were going to destroy the Jewish nation of Israel. That was number one. And then number two, they were going after America. Now, that's before the agreement had been signed there in Vienna, Austria. They were making statements like that 72 hours before. They have not stopped that. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who is the supreme leader of Iran, is the major leader in all of the states. President Rouhani was only allowed to be president because the Supreme Council selected him. And Ayatollah Ali Khamenei says that we can destroy Israel in 9 minutes. Now, that's exactly what the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 is talking about. The Jewish people, out of 108 nations of the world, over 150 years, have returned to the land. As you said, they are now a Jewish state among all the nations of the world. But they're the number one enemy for Iran. Iran continually makes the statement. Even in the 8 years of Ahmadinejad, when he was president, Rouhani helped put Ahmadinejad in place. He's a continuation. Even though everybody says he's a moderate, he is not a moderate. He's as radical as the rest of them. They want to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. Ezekiel 38 says that coalition of nations is going to be involved. And in verse 5, it mentions Persia. And you may not see Iran if you're reading the English text, but wait a minute. Persia, until 1936, was called Persia, but that landmass now is called by three names, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran. These are all major players in the alignment of nations that's going to go against the state of Israel. Ezekiel 38 is now in play because of this deal.
Jimmy, thank you and Dave for that question. Folks, you can understand and you can see by the direction of this context, of this discussion, we're going to be sharing a lot of things. We're going to come back and look on the other side a couple of questions, one including what's the relationship between Iran, Russia, and China? Because certainly it was advanced in this agreement. We're going to talk about that and a number of other things. So, folks, you are listening to Stand in a Gap today. This is Sam Rohr with David Kessler. Stay with us, and we'll be right back after the news and the commercials at the end of this break.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama takes questions from reporters in a few minutes about the nuclear deal with Iran. This morning, Vice President Joe Biden met with House Democrats, including Steve Israel from New York.
He stated clearly that nothing in this agreement takes a military option off the table. So whatever is on the table now remains on the table. He was clear on that.
The top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell says we'll see, and it's a simple test.
Can the agreement meet its essential test of leaving our country and our allies safer?
A vote in Congress is expected in September. Republican presidential candidates Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are meeting today. Trump's trailing only Jeb Bush in most Republican polls, saying on Fox and Friends this morning he can beat Hillary Clinton.
From Hillary's standpoint, the one person she doesn't want running against her is Donald Trump.
Fox News, we report. You decide.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome back again. This is Sam Rohr and David Kessler. We're going to pick up where we left off here. We are talking about the Iranian deal. And it's kind of interesting, folks, as you're listening, you heard on the bottom of the hour there on the Fox News that the highlighted item from them is and are continuing discussions with the president from congressional leaders relative to what in the world is in this agreement. I'm telling you that as you continue to listen, you're going to hear things about what this agreement means that will not be a matter of discussion that you're going to hear on any of the other news programs, but are probably in the long run far more important. Now, we left it on the side with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung mentioning and answering David Kistler relative to the role of Iran, is that it biblically it is going to be something that's going to be moved forward, enhanced, enlarged, and their role is going to be more significant. To add to that, I just want to add just a couple of comments here from some Arab leaders themselves in regard to this very issue. One said, "Iran and Iran at peace with the international community through this agreement will make Iran to even feel more at ease to implement its agenda across the region, including in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen." He also said this, actually Obama said this. He said, "This deal offers an opportunity to move in a new direction." And, of course, I think that new direction is going to be an enlargement of Iran. And then this one last one I think is very, very interesting. A prominent Saudi Muslim cleric, Salman al-Uda, who's often critical of the Saudi government, warned in a tweet that, quote, "Iran is moving, moving according to a well-studied, clear vision, absorbing its adversaries." He says, "Where are the Arab governments, and what are we going to do basically to oppose?" And that was more of his statement. So the Arab leaders as well see that something's on the move, and I believe that our president wants to be a part of charting a new direction. So I want to come back to you, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, in this regard. You pick up on that if you want to, but I want to throw into another question here. Russia and China are major players. They are a thorn in the side to our United States. China is our biggest cyber hacker and adversary. Russia threatens us on every hand with their bombers and military equipment all around. I mean, there's a lot of things happening, but in this agreement, of which they were signatories here in this Iranian agreement, they both said they were happy and were desirous of providing more arms to Iran. And whereas the agreement appears to perhaps keep in place the U.S. arms embargo, so we can't ship our arms to Iran, it looks to me like Russia and China will start or continue. So in that regard, my specific question to you is this. What's the biblical end time relationship between Iran, Russia, and China? And will this agreement facilitate this relationship?
Sam, let me get to that just one second, because I want to comment on what you started out this segment of the program with. Saudi Arabia very much concerned about the signing of this agreement between the world leaders and Iran. They understand that Iran is the number one threat to the Saudis. Iran wants the Islamic rule of the world. They want to have the holy cities, not Mecca and Medina in Saudi Arabia, but they want it in Tehran. They want it in the Iranian state, because that's where they want to control all of Islam. There's a sectarian fight that's going on between the Sunnis and the Shiites. Iran is totally Shiite in its governance and how it operates, that faction of the body politic of the Islamic people. And, of course, Saudi Arabia, the headquarters for the Sunni-related Islamic world with the holy cities there. So that's of much concern. Iraq, it's watching this thing unfold. The Sunnis in Iraq are very much concerned because of the Shiite-controlled government in Iraq. Now, getting to your question about Russia, Iran, and China. Number one, everybody must stop to remember that the technology and the technicians for developing this nuclear weapon of mass destruction came from Russia. Russia has continually supplied Iran with everything they need. They just agreed to give them the S-300 ground-to-air anti-aircraft missiles, which would protect Iran from any preemptive strike that Israel may do. And by the way, that preemptive strike it's closer than it's ever been as far as the Israeli Defense Force is concerned. The nation of Russia continues to fight alongside the Iranians, i.e. Syria is a perfect example, a four-year civil war going on there, 220,000 Syrians killed because of it, and the two major components that are helping Bashar Assad in Syria would be Russia and Iran. Both of them have military personnel in Syria fighting the opposition to Bashar Assad. Both of them have armament in Syria as well, and they continue to say. In fact, what Vladimir Putin said the other day was, we're going to save Syria. We're not going to let it fall. And not too long ago, there was a major headline from the Iranian press that said they are spending $13 billion a year to hold up the Bashar Assad regime because they need that entrance from the Mediterranean that would take them into the Israeli border with their ultimate goal to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. I see that, in fact, this decision by these world leaders to allow Iran to come back to power not only is going to open up the floodgates of billions, as you said, $100 billion, but conventional weapons as well, which will strengthen and give an arsenal to Iran without the nuclear weapons of mass destruction, which could make them the leaders of the entire Middle Eastern region, which is where they're wanting to go in the first place. Now, as it relates to China, China, I believe, is going to be a major opponent to the United States because not only are they the number one cyber attackers of the United States, but they have a military that within a couple of weeks could surpass the size of the military, the power of the military in the United States. That South China Sea situation could explode at any moment. But in Scripture, when I look at the book of Revelation, China doesn't come on the scene to chapter 16 and verse 12 of Revelation, which is the Euphrates River drying up, making way for the kings of the east to come in. Now, that's the next to the last of 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. It happens near the time of the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ will come back. And at that point in time, half of the population of the earth has been killed. So when you take China and India and all of those little smaller nations around, you're talking about almost the other half of the world that's going to come to Israel and try to destroy the Jewish state.
All right, Jimmy, you're just whetting our appetites. Dave Kistler, I know you're anxious. You got a question to follow up here.
Well, I do, and I just wanted to say this, Dr. DeYoung. I just returned from Israel about 2 weeks ago, and we were in the north part of the country along the Lebanese border where there's a significant portion of the apparatus that keeps Israel safe. And it's interesting, I know, Dr. DeYoung, you probably know this, they refer to a portion of that apparatus as David's sling. And I think that's very interesting that they call it that. But my question to you is this. Based on what is happening with this Iranian agreement and what is taking place there, in your very educated opinion, what will Israel now do? What will they be forced to do to protect themselves from this atrocious agreement now that is putting them in such a jeopardized position?
For a number of years now, as these negotiations, Dave, have been going on, they have been preparing for a preemptive strike. You know, they did that with Iraq under Menachem Begin when he was prime minister, and it wiped out the fact that Iraq could become a nuclear power that could control the world, as Iran is wanting to do today. So I have to tell you, the Israeli Defense Force is preparing for that preemptive strike. And on my website, prophecytoday.com, today, you'll see that that preemptive strike is very much more in place than it has been for a long, long time. Prime Minister Netanyahu said Israel will defend itself, and if nobody steps up the plate to help them do this, they are going to defend themselves. You know, world leaders in this decision that they made with Iran put aside the messianic theology of Iran. And that messianic theology is they're going to come to power with the 12th Imam, who will be the Mahdi, and that would be an Arabic word for Messiah. And he's going to come to Jerusalem to set up a worldwide caliphate, which is a dominion, a kingdom across the world. So Israel has to be the center of the focus. Thus, they cannot allow anything to happen that would cause them to have to give in or come under the Iranians. As it relates to that statement you started with,
up there in the Galilee where you were, right there at the Lebanese border. If you go a little bit to the east of the Syrian border, it's even worse, because as we are speaking on this broadcast, the Israeli Defense Force is in the Golan Heights. They are massed in the Golan Heights, ready to defend themselves from an Assyrian invasion. On the other side of the border in the Golan Heights in Syria, Iran has put the soldiers that could come in and try to take Israel, as the Bible calls for.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, please tell us in just a few seconds, where do people go to find out more about you and your what you're doing?
ProphecyToday.com. Website ProphecyToday.com.
Prophecy.com. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, thank you for being with us here today. We love it. We'll have you back, if we, Lord willing. You are listening to Sam Rohr and David Kistler on Stand in the Gap today. Be right back. Stay with us. We'll be on back on the other side of these commercials.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Earlier this year, I had the pleasure and honor of meeting Melissa Klein and her husband, Aaron, a wonderful Christian couple with 5 children who started a small bakery in their home state of Oregon. They came under prosecution from the state after they chose not to create a wedding cake for a same-sex couple, saying to do so would violate their conscience and their faith. Well, just last week, the state issued its verdict, ordering the couple to pay $135,000 in fines. In addition, the judge placed a gag order on the couple, prohibiting them from speaking about the case to anyone or making any statements as to why they chose not to participate in the same-sex wedding ceremony. Friends, liberty is under siege in America. Please pray for our efforts to defend religious liberty and for the Klein family that is facing such a ruinous court ruling. For more information on defending religious liberty, go to our website at pafamily.org.
In anticipation of troubled times, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to be courageous, bold, and unswerving in his belief of God. He said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you listen to the news of the day, you may well be fearful of all types of things, known and unknown. But God has given us the victorious power, His Holy Spirit to communicate the truth, and the spirit of confidence and faith. We should not sit back nor cower. Instead, we must press on for the truth. We must declare our relationship with Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the gospel. As Paul said, "Because of what God has done for us, don't be ashamed of being called a Christian. Wear the name of Christian with humility, grace, and power." I'm Sam Rohr saying, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Let us stand for Christ and with Christ no matter the cost.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, we're back for the final quarter hour here on Stand in the Gap Today, and I can't believe how fast this program has gone. David Kessler, we just had a tremendous guest on there with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and I know you have some thoughts about what we just heard from him. You want to express them to our listeners?
Well, Sam, I'm delighted to. I want to tell you this. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, with the incredible insight Dr. DeYoung has and the biblical perspective he brings, I was just sitting here listening, you know, hoping and saying, you know, Lord, it would be wonderful if instead of listening to all the moans and groans that sometimes come across, you know, media news, cable news, Fox News even sometimes, wouldn't it be wonderful if the biblical perspective could be heard all across the nation? Because what our listeners heard today, Sam, as you said at the very outset of the program, is not being heard. It is not going to be heard any other place other than right here. So absolutely outstanding stuff. The other thing I wanted to mention is this. I thought your question and his response at the very beginning about why do we even need to be concerned about these things if the rapture is going to take place, God's church is going to be taken out. Sam, I've heard it many, many times. Why do I need to worry myself about what's happening in the news? Because I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to have to go through that. Dr. DeYoung's statement about why we need to be concerned. There's a lost world out there. We have family members, friends. We have neighbors that do not know Christ. We need to know what is going to take place in the end times so that we can aggressively reach out to the gospel.
Well, I don't know who's breaking in on that line, brother, but I agree with you in what you are saying there. You know, we sometimes wonder, do we need to know? And we've talked about why should pastors in the pulpit talk about the issues of the day? Does it make any difference? Well, really, his answer and what you're just saying, Dave, it does make a difference both in how we live and the sense of urgency that we have. But, you know, frankly, my response is, and I'm not sure what the listeners were thinking as they're hearing that, but I am not fearful based on what I have heard and what we've discussed today. Frankly, I'm more than excited.
You know, Sam, I am too. it would be like this, to use a sports analogy. If I were playing in a basketball game, which I played a lot of in high school, and I knew the outcome were going to be a victory for me, knowing what's going to happen at the end, before the end, while the game is still being played, that would encourage me to give even more aggressiveness to my competitive nature to participate with more energy than ever before, because I know that there's going to be a victory as the outcome. The bottom line, Sam, is this. If God was interested and gave so much attention in the scriptures, in these prophetic portions, to what's going to happen in the end time, if it was that important to God, then it ought to be that important to us. Whether we're here when it happens or whether we're not, it takes up a significant portion of scripture. So we as God's men need to be declaring it, and God's children need to be listening to it.
Absolutely. As we are speaking right now, I mean, we try to be current on this program, and we have been. And as we speak right now, the president's just about to speak and talk further on this Iranian deal. And I guarantee you, as we said earlier, he's not going to be talking about any things we're talking about. He's bent on a direction. And I think he's bent on the direction of being a part of moving this whole effort forward with increasing the stature of Iran and Russia. And I don't know whether, frankly, Dave, this fits in with what his promise to Putin was, I'll do more after I can get in after the second term or not. But I'm telling you, what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung said and what we're talking about is happening really before our eyes. And one other thing I just wanted to mention here, one thing that stood out to me yesterday and even today, there are a number of Israeli parliament members and leaders of the different various coalitions that comprise that parliament. When Benjamin Netanyahu was elected, he had to take and put together a ruling coalition. That's not like we have in Washington, but it's different. It's a parliamentary system. But some of those who have been in opposition to him, I heard and I saw yesterday say that whereas we are in opposition to some things that Benjamin Netanyahu has done, this agreement with Iran puts this all together. We're going to stand together. And I was going to ask Jimmy this question of whether or not he thought that was significant as an effort of helping to pull together those who have had, I guess, the convenience of being at opposition with each other, but now when they're really increasingly under the gun from Iran and so forth, that they will coalesce and stand together as a more united group. What do you think about that, Dave?
Well, Sam, I would love to have Dr. DeYoung's response to that as well. We've got to get him back on and soon because he brings so much information to the table and is so well informed. I would dare say this, and this is just my opinion. I think, based on what I saw while I was in Israel, that this decision, this deal, is going to unify those elements there in Israel that may have had the luxury prior to this to be at odds with each other on certain issues. I think it's going to be a great unifying element. Sam, the thing about it is this. Would to God those that will watch the president's speech, and I'm monitoring it even as we speak, it's not yet started, but those that watch the president's speech and listen to him describe how this decision is going to make the Middle East a safer place, it's going to be good for Israel, it's going to be good for the United States, would to God that everyone who will watch that could have had or could have the filter of what we just heard from Dr. Jimmy DeYoung through which to filter all that the president says, and they would understand what is coming from our president's lips are just gross untruths. They are lies, I'm going to say literally out of the pit itself. This is not going to be good for Israel. This is not going to be good for the United States. It is not going to bring peace and lessen the likelihood of a nuclear holocaust in the Middle East or around the world. It's going to do none of that. All it has done is ratchet all of those things up.
Dave, I fully agree, and I don't know how else one can come to a conclusion on that. And so, folks, as you've been listening to Dave and I today and Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, I hope that you are getting increasingly the sense that when we look at the issues of the day and the news that we see, we have to look and filter it through what we call a biblical worldview, and that is the lens of Scripture. Because that is the history. I mean, if we believe that there is a God and that God rules over the affairs of men, we must be driven back there to see what does he say? And not forget that we are in a continuum of time, and we in this United States, God has used this nation to play a tremendous role in times past, but also, I believe, in the present, of which I believe that we're seeing some of these things work out now. So these are days of great excitement, not days of great fear, days of great excitement for all of those who know the Lord. And so even for those who are listening who don't know, say, you know what, I can find out more. And if I don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, folks, you can. This, at the end of the day, is really the hope for all of us. So, David, I want to thank you for being a part of the program today. It's been a pleasure to be with you on this and to be focusing on this most critical issue and to have Dr. Jimmy DeYoung speak to us from a biblical perspective and how we interpret these events, particularly surrounding Iran and this nuclear agreement. So, folks, we thank you for being with us today. You've been listening to Sam Rohr and David Kistler from Stand in the Gap Today. Be with us tomorrow, back at the same time, high noon tomorrow. We'll be right back here. God bless you all. Keep looking up.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.